Hegel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the 10th tape in the series entitled The Sanctity of Intimacy, recorded live at Hegel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning. We are holding in the middle of Perek Beis, the second chapter of Tanya, on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. We're standing at seven lines from the top, the second to the last word from the line, Umasha Kosov Bezayar. That's where we are holding. In our previous class, the Alter Rebbe was explaining that the origin and the source of all the souls of all the Jewish people are the divine wisdom, the Chachma of Hashem, Chachma Elah, supernal wisdom. He employs the metaphor of a child where all the organs and limbs and parts of the child stem from the brain and the wisdom and the soul of the father. The Alter Rebbe went on to explain that the various levels and ranks in the Neshamas, the myriads and myriads of different orientations and experiences and levels of neshamas are created from the fact that the divine wisdom is not immediately, so to speak, converted into a neshama, but rather it goes through a state of evolution which he calls Ishtalshelus Ha'ilamus. And thus the divine wisdom evolves through a myriad and a set of worlds, spiritual realms and worlds, through which the soul assumes dimensions of these worlds and realities until it is finally enclosed in the human body. Thus, the evolution affects every soul differently and many souls in different ways, and from this stem the many differences and variations in the neshamas. And again, similar in the metaphor of the child, where the same substance and fluid that is generated from the father enters the womb of his wife, of the mother, and through a process of 7 or 9 months, it goes through stages of development and evolution, through which from this very same liquid, there are created many different organs and limbs and compartments in the child's body. So although the whole body stems from one source, nevertheless, through this evolution, there are created differences. And the Alter Rebbe continues that just as in the metaphor, even after the fluid from the father is converted and changed into legs and arms and eyes and eyebrows until toenails, still they are all bound and connected in a very real and powerful way with their original source, which is the psyche and the character of the father. And this is due to the fact that these specific organs are not just disconnected organs, but rather they are all unified and connected with a central nervous system, the brain, and the wisdom of the child, which still retains in a very conspicuous way its connection with its father. And since all the organs are part and parcel of this central nerve system, they all retain that connection and link with their father. And the same is true regarding the souls of the Jewish people, that albeit that there are so many different types of souls, due to the fact that it went through this process of evolution, nevertheless, it is not only that their origin is the divine wisdom, but even now, due to the fact that all the souls are part and parcel and connected with the spiritual nerve system of the Jewish people, the Rashi Alfi Yisrael, the heads of the multitudes of Israel, the Tzadikim and the Chachamim, the righteous people, who are the heads of the Jewish people in every generation, through this, every single neshama is linked up constantly with its original source and still remains a projection and an extension of the divine essence. And today, in the conclusion of this Perek of Chapter 2, the Alter Rebbe will discuss briefly what is the contribution of parents regarding the character, the soul, and the spiritual makeup of their children. In light of what we learned previously in the Perek, it comes out that both the source of the soul is totally independent of the parents. They do not determine where the soul comes from. Every soul is a godly soul, a chelik elekame malmam, truly a part of Hashem above. Furthermore, we learned even the many different levels and ranks in the neshamas are not determined by the parents, but rather by the evolution of the soul through the spiritual world, which of course Hashem is the one who determines which soul is affected more by the evolution, which soul remains even in this world as it was in its original source without being affected by this evolution, etc., not by the parents. However, when we view our sources, especially the sources that Alter Rebbe will bring from Zohar, it seems to indicate the contrary, that the parents do have crucial influence also in this area. So let's see inside. Seven A, Daf Zayin Amid Aleph. Zayin, you see? Umasha Kasav Bezayar. The seventh line from the top. The second to the last word. Says the Alter Rebbe, Umasha Kasav Bezayar Ubezayar Chadash. As for what it is written in the Zohar. And in the Zohar Chadash, Shai Iker Talu Shiyakadash Atzmai Beshas Tashmish Davka, that the essential factor is to conduct oneself in a holy manner during the union between a husband and a wife. Masha Einkin Bnei Amei Ha'aretz Chulu, which is not the case with the children of the ignorant, and their like, who do not sanctify themselves during their union, and therefore the Zohar goes on to explain and imply that these types of people who do not sanctify themselves draw down for their child a soul of a much lower level. Now, in order to understand what the Zohar and the Zohar Chadash are saying over here, I have to give a brief introduction based on what the Balat Tanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, explains, not in the Tanya, but in other Svarim of his. There is a famous letter of the Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, which is printed in the Kisvei HaRamban in Volume 2, where he discusses the idea of the union of the Tashmish between a husband and a wife. The Ramban says a statement over there, and I quote, Kishayiya hachibur l'shem shamayim, when the union is done for the sake of heaven, Ein davar kadosh v'naki l'mayla mimenu, there is nothing which is holier and purer than that. In other sources, the union between a husband and a wife are termed Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of the holy. The reason for this, Hasidism, and the Alter Rebbe specifically explains in several places, is because when Hashem originally created man and woman, He created them as one human being, B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of Hashem, who is one. Then He divided this one human being into two distinct parts, which became Adam and Chava, a man and a woman. Therefore, the Torah says in Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Al Kein Yazav Ish, Es Aviv, Es Imay, V'Davak, Be'ishtei, V'Hayu, L'Basar Echad. Therefore, what is the therefore? Since they were originally created as one, and only then did they become two distinct parts, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Explains the Alter Rebbe that the eternal temptation that exists where a man seeks to be connected with a woman and a woman seeks to be connected with a man is because in essence you're dealing with one human being, with one entity who is only afterwards separated, and therefore man cleaves to be connected with his second half, and woman cleaves to be connected with her second half. And it's through this connection that they again can realize the fact that they were created in the image of Hashem. The fact that they were created in the image of Hashem was when they were one. Their separation is not only a physical separation, but also a separation in their realization and awareness of them being in the image of Hashem. This is one of the reasons why Kodesh HaKadoshim is called in Tanakh Chadar Hamitais, the chamber of the beds, because this moment of union is in Jewish literature deemed the holiest of the holiest. In addition to the fact, however, that this is the time when their Tzelem Elohim can be experienced in its fullest expression. It is the only experience in the human being's life through which he can have a taste of Hashem, through which man can be truly godlike. It is the closest we come to create something. That moment Hashem gives the power and the ability for the couple to create a child, which in that they become in a very powerful way godlike. The same as Hashem creates the entire human race and the entire world, the parents come the closest to that by being given the ability to create a child. And in addition to that, they create a child which will in turn create more children, generation after generation, until eternity. So this is the time in which a person is given one opportunity to taste the reality of godliness, to think as he thinks, to create as he creates, to endure eternally as he endures eternally. Several weeks ago, I was asked to speak to a group of approximately 100 Jewish teenagers who come from a secular background and had no Jewish education whatsoever. But nevertheless, in the last few months, have been studying it and I have found interest in it. So we were discussing issues and the quite intimate issues. And finally, one 17-year-old boy raised his hand and he wanted to know why in the Jewish religion, why in the Torah, are there so many regulations and laws and prohibitions regarding the issues of intimacy and the union between a husband and a wife. Why can't the Torah allow just freedom? And of course, all the 100 boys are staring at me, and I knew you're dealing with teenagers, so I knew I have 60 seconds. These 60 seconds, I could make it or blow it. Either I could tell them something that will remain with them or not. So I'm thinking, you know, no lectures here. And finally, as I remember the statement that the Rebbe says in Tanya. So I said, listen, boys. All of us are very physical people. We are we're finite human beings. Everything we do has limitations, has boundaries, has parameters. There is one experience in our life, one experience only, where God gives us the opportunity to become godlike. And that is the moment of the union between a husband and a wife. It's the time when the human being is given the ability to create, to endure, and to become godlike. And boys, when you stand face to face with God, every detail counts. Every single detail counts. And this is what the Alter Rebbe explains, the mystique and the infinite power, the overwhelming power that exists in this issue of union between a husband and a wife. So in our world, we are usually inclined to see it as a pure physical issue. But the reason why there's such a physical, powerful physical pleasure is really because this is the deepest spiritual pleasure that a human being can experience if he cultivates it correctly. And that's why indeed it's overwhelming. And for the same reason, it's that area in life which can be abused most. Because wherever this is a klal and axiom in Jewish teachings, wherever there is a potential for the greatest experience of sanctity, there is also a potential for the greatest experience which can demoralize a human being and just cause them further disconnection from the source of sanctity and holiness and from Hashem. This is basically the issue that is discussed in many places of Lekadesh Atzmei B'Shas Tashmish, that by the union one must sanctify himself. But in addition to the above, there's another major significant issue. And that is that in addition to the union itself, you're dealing over here with a child that might be created, but might be conceived and created. And the thoughts and the mental attitude and perspectives of the father and the mother in the midst of their union, according to the Torah, have a crucial effect on the nature, both the physical and the spiritual nature of the child that will be born. So it's not only an issue where a parent could think that a certain physical fluid or substance will emit from the father and enter the mother's womb and create a child, but the whole makeup and spiritual thought and mentality and psyche and the character of the parents at the moment will have an effect on what type of child will come out of this union. The Medrash tells an interesting story in Bamidbar Rabbah and Parshas Nasai. Tells the Medrash that an Arab king came to Rabbi Akiva. And he tells Rabbi Akiva the following story. I'm black. My wife is black. She gave birth the other day to a white child. I want to kill her. He says, why do you want to kill her? Because the only way she could give birth to a white child is if she lived with another man. So Rabbi Akiva says, the images and the pictures in your home are black or white? So the Arab king says, they happen to be white. Rabbi Akiva says, don't worry about it. In the midst of your union, your wife was contemplating and meditating upon the white images in your home, and thus she gave birth to a white child. And then he continues. He says, and if you're wondering about this absurd phenomenon, look in the Chumash, in Bereishis, the story with Yaakov Avinu, Parshas Vayetze, we all know the story. Yaakov Avinu wanted that the animals should give birth to animals that have certain colors and images, white spots, black spots, akudim, nakudim, verudim. So what he did was, in the time of the union between the male and the females, he crafted sticks that stood at the reservoirs of water where they usually have their union in certain images, and thus the females should contemplate these images, and thus they will give birth to animals in similar images. This is just one medrash out of many that explains the fact how the thoughts on all levels of the parents in that time has an effect on the nature of the child. And this is the idea that the Zohar explains over here, that a person, that the main thing is sheyikadosh atzmei b'shas tashmish, the essential factor is sanctification in the midst of the union. In fact, this idea of lekadosh atzmei b'shas tashmish is already discussed in Gemara, Masechet Nida daf Ayin Aleph, and in other places, Shavuos daf Yud Ches, Amud Beis, Nida daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. But over there, it's very concise and brief. In Zohar, in many places, this issue was developed at length. Zohar is, of course, a text, one of the most basic and fundamental texts in Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism, authored by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his pupils. Just a few quotes from the Zohar. Zohar Chelek Aleph, daf Mem Tes, Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Tzarich adam lekadosh atzmei b'shas tashmish, v'nafkemine bani kachi, bani maili delay mistafu meyetzahara. Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, said, a person has to sanctify himself in his union, and through that will come out of him holy children, excellent children, children that will not have to fear their evil inclination. Sorry, it's the third section of Zohar, Daf Mem Tesamid Beis. The same section of Zohar, Daf Peyamid Aleph, Parshas Gdeshim, the Zohar says, Zakayin inun sadikaya. How lucky are the righteous people, which through their sanctification in the midst of their union, Mishalfi Rucha Kadisha Mila'elu, Ubnayu Kulu Zakai, Kshait Umikrun Bnei Malka Banin Kadishin. That through their sanctification they draw down a Holy Spirit from above, and all of their children are truly righteous and are called the children of the King, holy children. Vaylahem l'irshiyayi dekulu chatzifin, vayivdayu chatzifin, beginikach, yarsin binayu nafsha chatzifa mesitu de mesava. Woe to the wicked people, who are all contain the aspect of chutzpah, and their deeds are full of chutzpah, antithetical to the divine will, and therefore they impart to their children a chutzpahdik, a soul that comes from the side of impurity. Indeed, in another place, in Zayar Chadash, which the Alter Rebbe quotes, Bereishis Dafid Aleph, the Zayar quotes the pasuk in this week's Parsha, the end of Parsha Shmini, V'yiskadishtim V'yisim Gdeshim. You should sanctify yourself and you should be holy. Zog the Zayar Melamed Shetzarech Adam L'kadosh Atzmei B'shas Tashmish. This refers that a person has to sanctify himself in the midst of the union, and the Zohar continues that kol ha'boyel l'shem mitzvah mekadesh atzmi u'mechaven libi l'shem shemayim havo le'bonin demayli tzadikim v'chasidim yirei shemayim and kedoshim. Someone who is boyel, who experiences the union, l'shem mitzvah, for the sake of a mitzvah, and sanctifies himself, and contemplates, and mechaven his heart. He has an intention in his heart, l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. He will have excellent children, good children, tzaddikim and chassidim, fearing Hashem and holy. These are just a few quotes from many other places in the Zohar where this issue is discussed. And the Zohar continues over there. However, someone who does not have the sanctification, like he says, Bnei Amei Haaretz, will draw down for their child a soul which does not contain this aspect of holiness and purity. So the Alter Rebbe's question over here is as follows. In the Zohar we see that the essential factor which determines the nature of the soul of the child is the conduct of the parents at the time of their union, which would seem to indicate the contrary of what was discussed previously in Tanya, that the soul issue that determines the nature of the soul is Hashem. So how are we to reconcile these two factors? And for the Alter Rebbe, he says as follows. Hainu, the meaning in all these sources in Zohar is Mishum She'ein Lecha Nefesh Ruach Neshama. There is no Nefesh Ruach Neshama She'ein Lo Levush Min Nefesh De'atzmus Ave Ve'imai, which does not have a garment that stems from the soul of its father's and mother's essence. V'chol HaMitzvah Yisra'isu, all the mitzvahs, all the commandments that it fulfills, HaKayla Yidei Yisra'i HaLevush, are all influenced and done through that garment. Even the benevolence that flows to one from heaven, all is given through that garment. Now if the person sanctifies himself, he'll bring forth a holy garment for the neshama of his child. Va'afilu hi neshama gdayla, and even if you're dealing with a great soul, tzricha lekidush aviv chulu, it still needs the father's sanctification at the time of the union. What the Alter Rebbe is saying is we have to distinguish between the actual soul and the garment of the soul. And everything he said till now is a quote, more or less, the words are a little bit a different order, from the Arizal from Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, as he will soon indicate where the references are for this. The Arizal explains that you do not have a child who has a garment which comes from the soul of the essence, which comes from the essence of the father and the mother. And the meaning, the meaning over here in Tanya is that when the Zohar talks about the nature of the soul that the parents can draw down at the time of the sanctification, the Zohar is not referring to the actual soul. The actual soul is not connected to the acts, to the behavior, to the conduct of the parents in any way. That is determined solely by above, mimal, by Hashem. First of all the souls come from one origin, from the divine wisdom. They are all a projection from the divine essence. And the differences come through the evolutions, through the ishtashlus that Hashem determines. What is the Zohar referring to? The garment of the soul. And when we talk about the garment in this case, we're dealing actually with the other two souls we discussed in our previous classes. We discussed that generally, specifically, there are three souls. There is the godly soul, there is the rational soul, and there is the animal soul. Generally speaking, in the Tanya, they are divided into two souls. The godly soul and the animal soul. The godly soul is of a godly essence, that is a godly consciousness in the human being. The animal soul is of a worldly, earthly essence, where the bottom line of the animal soul is I, selfhood, a sense of selfhood. The rational soul is a more refined, developed, sophisticated, lofty aspect of the animal soul. But nevertheless, it's part of the human experience. It's part of the earthly experience. The godly soul is what allows the person to truly soar and touch the divine. The godly soul does not exist in a vacuum. It is enclosed within the animal soul. And what is the animal soul? It's bifunctional. Number one, it's the biological soul that allows us to live. It gives vitality to our flesh and blood. It's what allows us to perceive, to breathe, to be healthy, to walk, our blood circulation should be running fine. In addition to that, the animal soul also has a spiritual personality. of which includes intellect, emotions, functions, attributes, faculties. But nevertheless, it's part of the zoological species, albeit a sophisticated part of it, the highest part of it. But nevertheless, that's what it is. That's what the animal soul is. The godly soul is enclosed within that animal soul and within that rational soul. And it functions through it. It behaves through it. Everything it does goes through the animal soul. This is what the parents determine. The garment to the godly soul, which includes the rational soul and the animal soul, this will be determined by the parents. There's no child who does not have a garment which does not stem from the nefesh, from the character of the father and the mother. There's a famous Mishnah, Masechta Ediyos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes. Zog the Mishnah, Hu Haya Eimer, Rabbi Akiva used to say, Ha'av Zaycha Leben, Benayi, Ubekayach, Ubeisher, Ubechachma, Ubeshanan. A father imparts to his child his beauty, his power, his wealth, his wisdom, and his years of life. There are several interpretations in this Mishnah. The Bartanura, in his first interpretation, including the Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam, explain that in most cases, the nature of the child resembles and reflects the nature of the child. The Maharal of Prague in his Chidushei Agadis HaMasechta Ediyos explains this more clearly, and he says, Baloimar, the Mishnah is coming to say, Kelefi ha-ra'i she'yiyye daima ha-tulda l'misha yatsa memenu. The proper normal thing is that the offspring resembles and is similar to its origin where it came from. V'davar zem muska mipi ha-koil. This is something which is acknowledged and agreed by everybody, she'ha-tulda taim la'av. That the child, the offspring, is similar to the father. The Maharal says that if it's different, it's because of a specific, exceptional, unusual reason. And interestingly, he discusses the five aspects that the Mishnah enumerates as being expressions of the five aspects in the parents' character, in the father's character. He says the beauty is the tzelem of the father, the image of the father. The koyach, the energy, is from the soul of the father. Then the wealth is from the money of the father. And wealth in the Torah is connected in some way to the person's essence and character. The wisdom is the intellect of the father. And the years of life are the body of the father. And all these aspects the father imparts to the child. That's how it is. So the child's garment of the soul, of his godly soul, which is extremely important, he will have through his father and his mother. And this is where the union becomes crucial. They can determine what type of garment it should be. If the garment that encompasses and encloses the godly soul will be a holy garment, will be a sanctified garment, will be a garment that will be transparent, will allow the godly soul to function in a proper and powerful way, or it will be an unholy garment. So the Alter Rebbe says, even a great soul must have the sanctification of the Father. The soul itself is holy and great, but the animal soul is also important. It's your character, it's your biological, physical character, your spiritual character. It's many aspects of the human personality and character are determined through it, and therefore the Nefesh HaBahamis and the Nefesh HaSichlis, the rational Namasol, are very important. And over here, the parents have a very important say. What type of garment the child will have. Even a great neshama has to have this. Why does the Zohar keep on saying, you're dealing with the soul? Because this garment is so closely associated with the soul. It is so bound up with it. They're constantly functioning together that it can be called a soul by itself. But when we speak more specifically, we have to determine between the actual soul and the garment of the soul. They say about one of the famous Hasidic masters, Reb Uri of Strelitz, he's known as the Saraf. He once told his pupils, he said, you cannot imagine how much easier my service of Hashem would have been if my father would have immersed himself one time in his life in the mikveh. Immersing oneself in a mikveh introduces sanctity and holiness in his life. So he said, you can't imagine how it would make it much easier. Because although his soul was a great soul, and the soul is not determined by the parents in any way, but nevertheless the garment of the soul is determined by the parents. And as he quotes it from the Arizal, all the mitzvahs the godly soul does is through that garment. You cannot put on tefillin If you do not have functioning hands through a healthy blood circulation, which comes about through a biological soul, you cannot think Torah or learn Gemara or learn Tanya if you do not have a brain and a rationale and intellectuality which comes through this garment. And even the Shefa which comes from heaven to the human being, inspiration that comes to the human being, goes via this garment. And this is the unique purpose and function of parents, that they have to realize that much before the child is born, much before the later months of pregnancy, the initial moment of union, when conception did not even happen yet, their thoughts, their mentality, their state of mind, their state of heart can determine what type of child this child, their offspring will be. And this is not, when we deal with sanctity over here, it's not dealing over here with handsomeness or beauty or even intellectual capacity. It's dealing with sanctity and holiness. If the child will have the ability to be able to access and tap into a spiritual essence, or it will be much more difficult for him. There was a famous Rebbe who once wrote, the previous Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, has written that the fact that in our generation, and how it came true, in his time it was much better, but now you see, the fact that in our generation, especially in America, there is such a major problem regarding the relationship between parents and children, regarding a certain moral conduct that it seems that many of the youth of our generation simply lack, he says, stem not as a fault from the children, but rather from the conduct of the parents, not only in the formidable years of education, that's for sure, but even in their own relationships, regarding how they observe the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, of family purity, how much they introduce sanctity and godliness into their life and into the relationship, that determines if the children can have the ability to be connected with their very soul. And he said many of the problems in our generation come from the fact that, unfortunately, parents were not careful and cautious about this very issue. And the Alter Rebbe continues, Avol haneshama atzma, but the soul itself, Hine lepa'amim nishmas adam gavoya le'en keitz, ba'al liyayz b'noy shal adam nivze v'shafulchul. It sometimes happens that the soul of an infinitely lofty person comes to be the son of a despised and lowly person. Regarding the garment of the soul, this is determined by the spiritual nature of the parents and by their act of sanctification by the time of their union. But the soul itself, so of course many times, and perhaps majority of times, righteous, holy people will have great souls, but nevertheless, sometimes a great soul will come to be born to a despised and lowly father from the spiritual perspective. So the soul itself is disconnected and disengaged from the actual spiritual nature and character and conduct of the father and the mother. And now he gives the reference to this discussion, this last discussion, K'meshah Kosev, Arizal Kolza. All of this has been explained by Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, the Arizal, Adenenu, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Zichroinu Levracha, Blessed Memory, B'Likutei Torah, Parshas Vayera, B'Taimei Mitzvahs, Parshas Bereishis, in the Sefer, Likutei Torah, on Parshas Vayera, and in the Sefer, Taimei HaMitzvahs, on Parshas Bereishis, both printed in one volume. Over there, the Arizal discusses this issue, how the parents contribute the garment and the crucial aspect of the garment and how it's dependent on the act of the sanctity of union, in the midst of the union. So we make a distinction again between the garment and the soul. Finally, he made a final last statement that the soul itself is totally independent of the parents, and sometimes it happens to be that a high soul is born to a despised and lowly parents from a spiritual perspective. Now, of course, many times that's not the case. Many times, tzaddikim will give birth to souls that are great souls. But this does not have to do with the conduct of the parents that determine the nature of their soul. It could be as a merit, as a reward, Hashem will grant them these great souls. But the nature of the soul itself, what is the soul, where it comes from, from which level it is, which stages of evolution goes through, that is determined totally and only by Hashem. And in fact, sometimes he concludes this last statement that a lowly person can have give birth to a lofty soul. The reason for this, the Arizal also explains, but not in these places, but it's rather a fascinating doctrine that the Arizal develops at length in Likutei Torah and Eiv, and in Shar HaGilgulim, Hakdama Lamed Ches, 38th introduction, and mainly in his famed Sefer HaGilgulim. The Arizal quotes a medrash on the Pasuk in Eiv, Perik, Yudalit, Pasuk Gimel, says the Pasuk, Mi Yitin Tahar Mitamai Loi Echot. Who can withdraw purity from impurity? No one. Zog the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, the beginning of Parsha Yutes. Avraham came from Terach. Chizkiah came from Achaz. Yeshiah from Amin. Mordechai from Shimi. The Jewish people from the nations. The world to come, Elam Haba, from this world, Elam Haza. Who could do this? Who could command this? Who could decree this? No one but Hashem, the only one on earth. Loi Echad. No one but Hashem, the only one on earth. Yichidei Shalayla. Explains the Arizal that this is not Miyitein Tahir Mitamai. The only one who can withdraw purity from impurity is only Hashem. But why should we want to withdraw purity from impurity? There are major neshamais that for whatever reason find themselves in the realms called klippas. Hashem, in order that there should be free choice, and that man's endeavor in life should be a meaningful, truly meaningful and purposeful experience, he had to give and create energies and realities that conceal the reality of godliness and can introduce a perception and a way of conduct that is antithetical to the divine will and purpose. And these realms are called klippas, shells, husks. We discussed in chapter 1 more at length the idea of klippas. But the only way something can receive nourishment is by connected to Hashem, by connection to Hashem, because Hashem is the source of all life and vitality and energy. So they themselves are distinct and separated from the godly source. So they always seeking to receive more nourishment. They have a little nourishment that comes in a very contracted and obscured manner from Hashem, because Hashem wants them to exist. But they seek to enhance their livelihood, so to speak. So where do you go for that? For that you have to go to the realm of sanctity. And as mentioned before, the greater the potential for sanctity, the greater the potential that it should be abused. Therefore, Klipa always seeks to get a hand, a hold on the realm of Kedusha. There are certain souls that find themselves in their realm, and this gives them very powerful nourishment. And they by no means will like to release these souls. However, they're scared that Arizal says that one day a tzaddik could, parents, through their prayer, can extract that soul and affect the descent of that soul, and that they're very scared of because they're going to lose the soul. So what do? So they have to allow the soul to be born. Because if not, it's going to be taken away from them. So they decide where they want it to be born. So they usually take a couple that's a very lowly and despised couple, and they say, over here we'll send out the soul. And it's even better if the relationship between the couple is blemished, because then they feel in such a blemished environment, spiritual environment, the soul will never be able to reach its spiritual heights, and therefore the soul will live and never maximize its potentials. And when this soul dies, we will even have greater nourishment from this soul because it abused its potential on earth.